Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Hey guys, welcome back. Today we're talking about getting the most out of your healing journey so you can make it, I guess, the least painful going on a healing journey because you see that you're ready for some life transformation. You see that there are things for you that are not working for you, and perhaps you're in a place right now where you're currently seeing a therapist or thinking about seeing a therapist or something of that nature, like embarking on a journey with a shaman for your healing or working with a spiritual coach or some type of guru or mentor, anything that's going to invoke transformation and healing in you. I want to share 5 tips that can help you on your journey to hopefully either make it quicker and less painful and more potent, getting the most out of it, really. I want you to get the most out of your healing journey and really make it as fast and as easy for you as I can, because in my experience, I've seen people resist the healing journey, and it's supernatural, because what happens is that you're going to get to a point where you're facing really uncomfortable emotions, because sometimes you're healing some really deep, dark shit, right? And it's difficult to move in the direction of those wounds, of that trauma, of those really yucky feelings. But I want you to know that healing and freedom and feeling good is on the other side of that, but you have to move towards it. You can't resist it. In my experience, I've seen a lot of people approach therapy with a lot of resistance. And the truth is, I don't want you to waste your money. Be proactive about your healing journey. And with these tips that I'm going to share with you today, it's going to really help move the needle a lot more and help you make more progress, and also give whoever you're working with more material for them to help you, to mirror back things to you, and just allow both of you to go on a much deeper dive and really cut through a lot of the bullshit and surface stuff. You'll notice that once you're no longer being triggered by past life trauma or past relationships or struggles with your childhood, you all of a sudden have all of this infinite potential and possibility and attention to create something in your life, whether it is changing careers or being more present for your children or for your spouse, or perhaps taking on a new hobby, creating artwork, perhaps changing your diet and reshaping your body. Just so much possibility is born when we are able to heal anything that no longer serves us, things that have held us back from living our best life, to sound a little cliche. And that's really why I created this podcast, is to deliver this message over and over again, that when you embark on your healing journey and work on your stuff, and you're working from your adult and you're fully present in your life and not working from an inner child, not working with a minimal amount of bandwidth, but from instead a place of possibility, of self-love, of worthiness, of self-compassion, so much can be born from that place. Now, I'm gonna be real with you, okay? if you're going and doing this shadow work, right? This going back into your past and working through your wounds, either by yourself or with another professional. And I strongly recommend another professional, just because having a very objective point of view from a stranger can really help you see patterns that you may not be aware of. Now, it's not for the faint of heart, and it will get worse before it gets better. And here's where I need you to trust me. If you're embarking on this journey with a therapist or whoever you're working with, you're going to get to a point where you're going to be really uncomfortable because all of these things are coming to the surface, and you're going to want to jump ship. It's part of the journey. This wanting to jump ship is because you're about to have a breakthrough, and it's going to be many breakthroughs that result on your healing journey. But move in the direction of the uncomfortable feelings, because that's where the magic is. The aha moments are coming. They're right there. But you're in that really sticky, dark, uncomfortable space where you might fall into more of that victim consciousness. You might get angry. You might want to say, fuck this shit. This is too hard. I don't want to go through this. But it's okay. This actually means things are working. I want you to know and remember, when you get to this point, that you deserve to be happy. You were born a beautiful, innocent, loving soul that deserves love. You are love, and you deserve to have a life that's fulfilling, that's meaningful, that you wake up content, not some sort of emotional roller coaster, that you just wake up every day with meaning, with purpose, with joy. And I'm not talking about like, oh, everything is positive and let's live this like bullshit positive life by only thinking positive, feelings and emotions. No, but I mean just a life where you have inner peace. So think more of just this very soft, neutral, grounded energy that is in a place of allowing, of receptivity, of just this very grounded space and this very expansive energy. Can you feel that? Can you imagine that for you? Or maybe you're there already, so let's kind of sit in that yumminess. So this is what I really want for you. I want you to know that you deserve all of these things. I want you to know that you need to move in the direction of being uncomfortable. I want you to turn over every rock and discover anything that's holding you back, that's keeping you away from your greatness. Because this is the only life we have right now. We don't really know what happens afterwards. We can split hairs about what we think does and doesn't happen in past lives and all this crap. But the truth is, pretty much, we only remember this lifetime. And you want to make it count, right? Because what if we've got it all wrong? So make this count, and I don't want you to give up, and I want you to move forward in creating this life of possibility and celebrating this beautiful life that we have to create to make a difference in our own life and in other people's lives. Now, the tips. Okay, so if you're going through this healing journey, these are 5 tips that, in my experience, and with working with others, I feel are really powerful and help move the needle a lot faster. Number 1, journal your triggers. So for example, if you're going to therapy and you're seeing a therapist every week, I want you to journal your triggers. Keep open the notes app on your phone, and anytime something pisses you off or triggers you or makes you cry or whatever it is that gets your heart racing, or even if you feel like you're super anxious, write it in your notes app and just keep a note open for your therapist and just say like, all right, this week, these are all the points that I felt super triggered or angry or really anxious or had a panic attack, whatever those things are. Keep a log of those things because that's going to help paint a picture for your person that you're working with. Okay, it's going to start telling a story. The next tip I have for you is to sit in meditation. Now, I don't know if you meditate or not, and if you do, great. If you've tried it and you're like, this isn't for me, I have something to tell you. Okay, I'm going to be frank with you, and this is what I like to call what the beginning of, if you like are resisting stuff, which most of us are in some shape, way, or form, pretty much the first time you're going to meditate, you might want to like crawl out of your skin. The reason why is because you are now sitting with your shit. This is what I call your meditation practice. It's called sitting with your shit is really what the beginning of the meditation journey looks like. Especially if there's a lot of triggers and things going on that you haven't looked at either ever or for a long time. So if you suffer with anxiety or you have a ginormous amount of stress, when you sit down in meditation, all of that's going to come into your awareness. You might feel it in your body. You might feel really antsy. You might feel pain in your body. You might feel really anxious. You might even try to sabotage the experience by maybe having a stomach ache or some big headache. It's interesting how the body works and wants to sometimes work against you or your mind. Sit through it. And the name of the game is just sitting there and naming all the things that you're feeling. So instead of trying to quiet your mind, throw that shit out the window. Really just sit there in your full awareness and with your full presence and just say, okay, take a nice deep breath. Okay, I'm sitting here and my back hurts and I feel anxious and my chest is kind of tight right now. And man, I'm kind of sweating. Crap, I have to do the groceries and I forgot to do this task. All right, I'm still feeling my heart racing. Okay, my mind is racing. I see you. Okay, breathe again and narrate what you're feeling. Just narrate it. Narrate it to yourself like you're watching a movie. Instead of falling into what's happening, saying, oh my God, I'm so uncomfortable and I feel like this and I don't want to do this shit and blah, 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 blah. Step in the space of the observer and narrate what you're feeling and just name it. Name it for just sit there for 5 minutes and name everything that came up as the observer. And that'll be the beginning of your meditation journey. And just start from that place of just sitting and watching and narrating and make fun of yourself. And you should be like, wow, look at me spazzing out right now trying to meditate. This is hilarious. And be playful with it and have fun with it. It doesn't have to be this super serious, intense, let me quiet my mind and alternate nostril breathing and all this stuff. It doesn't have to be that serious and intense. Just kind of sit with yourself from a very inquisitive mind and just take it a step at a time, a minute at a time. But the purpose of this is when you start getting a regular meditation practice, when you start sitting with yourself, you'll notice that every time you sit in meditation, it gets easier and easier, and you can sit for longer and longer. And then you'll find the open spaces and that gap that everybody talks about. It's living in the gap between one thought and another, is that expansiveness, that peace, that quiet. That brings a lot of healing and also brings a lot of information. So like they say, prayer is like you're sending an email to God and meditation is you're waiting for the email to come back, that reply from God. And it's important that you do both. if that's your jam. So make sure that you, once you start getting used to the meditating, you'll find more gaps to sit in of that quietness, and you'll start really leaning into what's really going on, what's really at the root of what you're feeling. You'll be able to sit there and kind of contemplate the triggers that you wrote down in your notes app and just really sit in those triggers and see, okay, what was going on when I felt that, and see what spirit brings to you. Imagine yourself like this open antenna, and you're waiting for these signals to come instead of really using your brain to hash out any details. Put your mind away if you can, even visually, just do that. Imagine yourself putting your brain in a drawer and just be like, I'm going to sit here in my own energy and allow myself and my higher self to reveal anything about the situation that needs to be revealed. Okay, that's what I have to say about starting a meditation practice. Tip number three. So number one was journal your triggers. Number two was sit with your shit, aka meditation. Tip number three is part of number two, which is creating your healing corner. Now, your healing corner can also be called your meditation corner. My favorite, I call it my spiritual office. Or it can also be called your altar, but a place where only meditation and journaling and any sort of healing activity or introspection or any intuitive activities, even like pulling cards or sitting and talking with your guides. And I'll get into that in another episode, but just a place where this sacred time happens, a sacred tiny space. And this can be as simple as having a little tiny stool with a candle on it and a little pillow for you to sit on comfortably, and that's it. Or it can be more intense, kind of like an altar where you have all sorts of sacred items, and oracle cards and crystals and essential oils and incense and your sage, or Palo Santo, whatever it is that is your vibe, or your Bible or your sacred books. I've had two altars, two formats. Right now I'm more in a minimalist phase of my life. So I have the plain stool with my candle and my pillow, but for many years I've had more of that really beautiful altar with all my sacred items. If you want to see what all of that entails, go on my YouTube channel, and I have a video specifically where I went over my altar and all of the sacred tools and the way I use them. Check that episode out. It's a great episode, but that'll give you an idea of what mine looks like. Now, in this space is where you're going to, again, do your meditation, sit with your shit, do your journaling in the space if you want. Just something that every time you sit there, your body automatically knows, hey, we're going to do some healing work. We're going to meditate, and it will help you drop into that space easier. Versus trying to like move around your house or different places that will be distractions, or you might even have the interference of electronics or just things that are visually distracting. Create a space in your home that will be this healing corner for you. And this will really be a powerful space. You will also be choreographing energy in this space on a regular basis. And even that space becomes more sacred and more powerful. And there's going to be something energetic happening, almost like a portal of energy and healing. So it's really important that you just dedicate one area for this. Okay, so far we have tip number one, journal your triggers. Tip number two, meditate. Tip number three, create a sacred space where these things take place. Tip number four is move your energy. So there are many supplemental therapies you can do to really supplement your healing journey. For example, Reiki, doing a soul retrieval, shamanic journeys, emotion code healing sessions, maybe getting an astrology reading so you can really understand yourself by understanding your natal chart, getting massage therapy. It is very common for us to hold emotions in our bodies. And when you get regular massage, it really helps move a lot of the stagnant energy and feelings and emotions that could be trapped. So body work is important. Acupuncture, same concept. You can move a lot of stagnant energy that way. Also, you can do more movement-based. There's chakra dance is actually a thing. See where the nearest chakra dance classes are happening right now. I know with the pandemic, I'm not sure if that's a thing, but there's probably things on YouTube. Other energy-based movements like Qigong or Tai Chi are good, or even Zumba, dude. Like, I'm a Zumba instructor, and there's nothing that makes me happier and moves a lot of energy for me than doing Zumba, because I'm Latin and I love all Latin music, and for me, I'd rather do that than yoga. However, I still must mention yoga, because that's also equally as powerful. So just really, it's about getting into your body and moving the energy. That will really help expedite your healing process and also move things to the surface for either release or for processing. So definitely get moving. And at the very least, if none of these float your boat, just go for a walk, people. Just go for a walk, like 20 minutes. Get outside, breathe some fresh air, and that's it. And see if that works for you. Just move some way, somehow. Okay, tip number 5. Clean up your space. I know this might annoy some of you. We've heard it over and over. If you have a clutter-free space, you will have a clutter-free mind. I can't emphasize this enough. Some people are overwhelmed by organization and or even don't know where to start. Ask a friend. Virgos, team Virgo over here. Virgos, and I feel like Geminis and Libras are really organized naturally. Just reach out to your friend, the one friend that you know is organized by nature, and just say, hey, I really want to organize my house or my office or my business or my car, wherever it is that you've got your mess going on, just ask for some support. And truth be told, we freaking love doing this for people because we get off, at least for Virgos. I think we really enjoy organization and helping others get organized. I think it's just a natural talent that we have. I know that we annoy other people with it, and it's okay, because guess who was a Virgo? Michael Jackson. Oh yeah. I am super proud of that. And I think Beyonce is also a Virgo. I want to say, don't quote me on that, but I think so. So anyways, ask for help if you don't know where to start, and they will happily support you and get everything in place. And the rule of thumb is every item should have a home. If the item does not have a home, throw it in the trash or donate it. Check out Marie Kondo's Netflix series if you really want a method and you're too embarrassed to ask for help. Check out Marie Kondo's method, but taking that on, you'll be amazed. It'll shift your mindset. You will feel better. People in your environment will feel better. It will also move stagnant energy that's stuck in your home or wherever this is happening. It'll really shift the energy. If you want to do it from a feng shui perspective, you can even hire a feng shui consultant and have them really, you know, overhaul your place just and have fun with that. There's so much that comes with having a really good energetic space, that feels good, that is conducive for your energy and your lifestyle, and it really eliminates so much stress because there's actually a thing called visual clutter. And if you are a highly sensitive person and you have visual clutter, it can be detrimental. It can really mess with your energy. So I'm going to add another tip right here, actually. So far, let's go over the five tips. Tip number one, journal your triggers. Tip number two, meditate. Tip number three, create your sacred healing corner. Tip number four, move your energy. Tip number five, clean up your physical space. Tip number six, I want you to go and Google quizzes for if you're an empath and if you're a highly sensitive person, because you will have to take this seriously if you are, because being an empath, it's really important that you are aware of how to move through the world as an empath when it comes to energetic hygiene, and even more so if you're a highly sensitive person. And you can be either or you can be both. I am both, and so what that equals is an energetic clusterfuck, okay? Because that makes me a super sensitive snowflake, and I am high maintenance. It is what it is, okay? But if you're a highly sensitive person and it's a thing, and there's books written on this, and if you're a parent, there's also a book I just read called The Highly Sensitive Parent. I highly recommend it. Navigating through life and cleaning up your space and moving your energy and meditation and journaling, all of these tips that I mentioned are even more important for you. It's an emergency, people. You need to be aware of this so you can really move through the world with much more ease and grace and grounding. And it will change your life and just make things easier, okay? It's going to make things a lot easier. So go do one of those online quizzes, do a few of them so you can take like an average score, because you know some of these are hokey pokey. And see if you fall into that, because you're going to want to educate yourself on what it means to be an empath and what it means to be a highly sensitive person, either or both. It'll really help you out big time. It may even end your healing journey from the perspective of, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I've just always been an empath absorbing other people's crap, or a highly sensitive person that just needs a lot of self-care and alone time. And that was the root of all these, you know, experiences that I've had. And now with these new tools that I've armed myself with by educating myself on what these things mean, now all of these other things are a non-issue. So check it out. I'm definitely going to have episodes on empaths and on being a highly sensitive person. I'm definitely going to add that to this podcast because it is super important. And about 20% of the population is a highly sensitive person. And it's not just females, it also can be males. So that's a whole other episode topic. But I just really wanted to put that in here because it might make the world of difference on your healing journey. All right, guys, remember that healing doesn't have to be so hard if you're really proactive about your healing journey and working together with your therapist or with your healer. You can really create a lot of long-lasting transformation. It can expedite the process sometimes. It can create a lot more awareness and grounding. Don't resist. I have, in the words of this shaman friend of mine who's no longer with us, that she was amazing. She said, if you ain't crying, you lying. So remember, move in the direction of the uncomfortable feelings. A breakthrough is around the corner. Do not give up on your healing journey. you will get through this. And these are going to be tips that you can use just for energy hygiene, for spiritual maintenance, just to be able to stay grounded and connected with yourself and connected to spirit. It's not just solely for the healing journey. And this will help create more bandwidth, create this beautiful river of mental energy and attention and focus into your life to create a life of possibility, to create a more fulfilling life, to create other things that you want to create, right? Just for the energy of creation itself. And to be more present for yourself and others, just so many things are born from a healing process that are so beautiful and empowering. And most of all, you can go on and help other people's also by just being you. You don't have to go into a healing modality, but when you show up in self-love and in worthiness and empowered and self-actualizing just by being in that space and embodying that, you will make a difference in other people's lives. It is contagious. Okay. All right. That's it for this episode. And until next
time. Thank you guys for being here. I know that your time is the most valuable thing you have. It means the world to me that you're here. There are many more cool episodes coming. So go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If this episode inspired you, please leave a review so this show can reach more people who need healing. Every month, I'm giving away my productivity planner to one lucky listener who shares the show on Instagram and tags me at @NatalieOneLove. Again, thank you for being here. I love you guys. See you in the next episode.